بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abundant shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, His grace, His compassion, His love for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to listen to the entire Qur'an Majeed being recited in the Taraweeh Salah over the entire month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the recitation and the Taraweeh and the Qur'an Majeed that was recited so beautifully. And of course, we congratulate our Hufaz Kiram, we make dua for them, that Allah Ta'ala gave them the ability as well, and the strength to lead us in Salah. Believe me, it is not an easy task. It is an extremely daunting task. It is a difficult task. To stand in front, ask any hafiz who performs Taraweeh, you virtually tremble at times. These Hufaz-e-Kiram in this masjid and throughout the world, wherever they have performed Taraweeh Salah, they are the engines. We are just the coaches, the compartments linked to them. Without the engines, we won't go anywhere forward. It is very easy to criticize and say this engine is slow and this one is fast and this is like a bullet and this is very slow and very easy to criticize. But those who are hafiz of Quran and those who perform Salat al-Taraweeh and they make the door of the Quran and Majeed and they understand what is happening, then you can ask such hufaz ikram and ulama that it is not easy to perform Salatul Taraweeh. Mistakes will occur. Nobody can say he read the whole Quran without a mistake. We have got, mashallah, Hafiz Rashid Umar Saab, who is, in my opinion, the walking Quran. May Allah Ta'ala give him sihat, may Allah Ta'ala bless him. You can ask him, and he can relate many stories to you. Books can be written. Ask every Hafiz of the Quran his experiences. Sometimes you know your work so well. You know it so well. But when you come in the front, suddenly, you just seem to get some cold feeling. And sometimes you make some mistakes. No hafiz of the Quran, in the true sense of the word, and no true alim will come and deliberately make mistakes. And nobody will deliberately allow mistakes to take place. Never. This is an amanat. We try our utmost, our level best. You could listen so attentively. And remember, the Hafiz Sahab is reading with speed and then you got to correct him and bring him up. Now, we are so used to in a Heaf's class, when you're listening to somebody's sabak, he's hamrawing his door, sabak, and he's making a mistake, then you will nudge him. That's the way we stop. We take, read from top, man. Now, believe me, in Salat, you are holding yourself from saying those words, otherwise namaz will break. You almost will say, bye, read from top. Because we're so used, we're accustomed to saying these things to stop the person. We all are human beings. But this is a white BMW ND477342. Kindly remove your car. White BMW ND477342. Any other vehicle that needs to be removed, kindly give us the numbers. Brothers, you are again. I'm not going to give another bayan like how we give 27 night. Because the ladies get confused, they don't know what's happening there. If you have parked incorrectly, kindly park your car correctly and come back, inshallah. So, Hafiz of the Quran, they are chosen people. Allah Ta'ala chose their hearts to put His kalam inside there. And therefore, we should honor Hafiz of the Quran. Of course, there are great responsibilities of the Hafiz of the Quran, which we touched on the other day, night. And how important it is for them to uphold to the teachings of Sharia, Sunnah. Not just the month of Ramadan comes, then suddenly now the Hafiz of the Quran was to grow a beard, and now he dons the kurta, and now he frequents the masjid. No, brothers. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah guide all of us. May Allah give us hidayat. May Allah make us true leaders, true hufaz, true ulama, true Muslims, true believers. And my humble appeal is made to all the hufaz al-kiram especially. Allah chose us to recite the Quran. Allah chose us to learn the Quran. Now it is incumbent upon us that we have to reflect over the meanings of the Quran, understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what His message is. We are standing in front, we are leading the people behind. And therefore it is necessary that we try and implement these beautiful teachings of Sharia. Verses upon verse. We should not be what we call a Ramazani Hafiz. This is the month of Ramadan, we adopt the appearance of a Hafiz of Quran. May Allah ta'ala overlook our shortcomings, we all are weak. Nonetheless, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. This Quran in Majid, Allah has taken a qasam upon it. Allah has said, Sad wal Qur'an dhikr. Qaf wal Qur'an al Majid. Alif lam mim, dhalika al kitabu la rayba fi. How beautifully Allah has mentioned that this is the Quran of Allah. Alif lam ra, tilka ayatul Qur'ani wa kitabi mubin. Verses upon verses upon verses, Allah has spoken about the Quran in Majid. Somebody said, a poet said, as though Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِن كُنْتَ تَزْعُمُ حُبِّي فَلِمَا هَجَرْتَ كِتَابِي أَمَا تَأَمَّلْتَ مَا فِيهِ مِنْ لَذِيذِ خِطَابِي. If you claim you love me, Allah says, if you claim you love me, a poet has put it in this form, way. As though Allah is telling us, if you love me, if you claim that you love me, then why have you abandoned my kitab, my book? Have you not pondered over the beautiful teachings of my Quran? My message to you, my khitab, this letter to you. Our mashayikh have mentioned that this whole Quran in Majid is like a 30-para letter to us from Allah. I won't just say lover and beloved, a man who is married. A person is married, newly married. And now for some reason, his wife is overseas or he's not with her. And she writes him a letter. How many times you'll read that letter? A beloved writes a letter to the lover, or lover writes a letter to the beloved. You will take that letter, you will read it 100 times, you'll put it in your pocket, you'll fold it, you'll open it again after a few minutes, you'll smile, you'll read. You'll make sure that you read every single dot. But Quran in Majid, only month of Ramadan. Our Hazrat Rahmatul Ali should always sing that ashar. Taqumi sajaya jatahu. I'm just decorated, put into the shelf. Just as Allah gave us the chance to recite so much of Quran in the month of Ramadan, Asr time, Asr to Maghrib, everybody is sitting in the masjid. After Fajr, brothers are reading. After Zuhar, people are reading. Even at night, mashallah, we are opening. We want to finish our khatams upon khatams. May Allah accept our tilawat. Now, after the month of Ramadan, do we terminate all that? You would have noticed in Taraweeh after Surah Nas, then we started again, Alif Lam Mim Dhalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi. Whenever a person finishes the Quran, it doesn't stop at Min Al-Jinnati Wal Nas. We have been taught by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to start the tilawat again. In other words, the Quran Sharif has not come to an end. We have to continue reciting. Ramadan may end, but Quran doesn't end. Now we need to go one step further. We need to understand the message of Allah. Imagine, we will leave this world without even reflecting on what Allah Ta'ala had commanded us, what Allah instructed us, what beautiful advices and teachings and injunctions and instructions that Allah had laid out for us. Again, if a person is married and his wife is a foreigner, he doesn't understand her language, but they got married, mashallah. They got genuine love for one another. Nikah has taken place. Now she writes him a letter, or he writes her a letter in her language. He doesn't understand a single word. You think he'll just take it and put it away? No. He'll find somebody who can understand that language. Please, please tell me. He'll ask him, say it again, twice, three times. He's making sure, look at the person. And he's acknowledging what the person is telling him. If you don't understand the Quran, go to people who understand the Quran. Find out what is the meaning of this verse. What is Allah Ta'ala expecting from me? What is Allah asking me to do? Enjoy the Quran. Really, Allah has given us such a beautiful opportunity in the month of Ramadan. We have an extra love for the Quran. This is a Polo ND71350. Oh, you're blocking somebody. Polo ND71350. Now, in the 30th juz that we heard tonight, there are so many surahs that we heard. I think more than any other juz of the Quran. So if we start now with tafsir of Amma Yatasa'alun, the first surah, even by Fajr we won't even complete one or two surahs. So we'll just give a summary of all these surahs. These are mainly the Makki surahs, surahs that were revealed in Makkah. There are other explanations of Makki surah, Madani surah. In simple terms, these surahs were revealed, most of them, or most of these verses were revealed in Makkah. So the theme, the central theme of most of these surahs, Allah Ta'ala talks about His oneness, Iman in Allah, belief in Allah. Allah talks about His power, His Qudrat. Allah gives proofs. Allah gives us proofs of His power, His supremacy, His loftiness. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala repeatedly talks about Qiyamah. Allah talks about فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةِ الصَّاخَّةِ الْقَارِعَةِ الْغَاشِيَةِ. He's all talking about Qiyamah, Qiyamah, Qiyamah. Resurrection, Qiyamah, 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 Qiyamah. Sayyid Qutb Rahmatullahi Alayh, the author of Fi Zulal al-Quran, in the shade of the Quran, has written a masterpiece. And he has mentioned regarding the 30th para, he says, as though a person is fast asleep. And somebody comes to awaken him. So the person first knocks on the door. But this person is fast asleep. He does not wake up. And he needs this person to wake up. Perhaps the house is on fire. There's an emergency. So he knocks on the door again. Now this time a little bit more louder and harder. And still the person is asleep. So again he'll knock again a third time and much harder and a fourth time. Each time it's becoming louder and louder until he bangs on the door. It is like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse upon verse, the sound is increasing. Brothers, wake up, wake up, wake up. Qiyamah, Allah talks about Jannat, Allah talks about Jahannam, Allah talks about Hisab Kitab, Allah talks about our amal going to be weighed, Allah talks about the ingratitude of man. Allah Ta'ala talks about the bounties He has bestowed upon us. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Have I not given man two eyes? Have I not given him two lips? Have I not given him a tongue? Have I... يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Oh man, what has deluded you? What has deceived you from your Rabb who is most munificent, most generous? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. The one who created you, He fashioned you, He proportioned you, He gave you beautiful eyes, He gave you a nose, He gave you ears, He gave you a mind, He gave you a body, He gave you hands, He gave you feet, He gave you a heart, He gave you a lip. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fashioned us. Allah said in one verse, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. We have created man in the best of forms. Best of forms. Isuzu Baki ND 448480. Isuzu Baki ND 448480. Kindly remove your car. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us repeatedly that I have done this for you. I have given you this. I have given you these faculties. I have given you the ability to hear. And remember the other night we spoke about Fir'aun, his arrogance, his pride. Ana rabbukumul a'la. When he told Fir'aun, when he told Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the Bani Israel, what Allah are you talking about? I am your mighty Lord. Ana, ana. Allah Ta'ala destroyed him. Allah Ta'ala talks about, Allah addresses the people in Makkah. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ. Do you feel you are more powerful than the sky?
بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها. Allah has taken a qasam also on the sky. والسماء ذات البروج. In the 29th para, which we heard last night, in the beginning Allah talks about the skies. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا. Allah says, Allah has created the seven firmaments. So beautifully the sky has been created. Banaha. Allah has created it. In another verse, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ. With great strength, Allah says, we have built these skies. We have fortified these skies. Look at the skies. Allah says, look, look properly. Can you see any fissures, any cracks, any holes? Perhaps you haven't seen correctly. Allah says, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرْ كَرَّتِينَ. Look again, look again, look properly. Look. Take your binoculars, take whatever you equipment you have and look and search for any flaw, for any cracks in this creation of Allah. You will come back unsuccessful. Allah wants us to reflect and ponder over His creation. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Have they not seen the camel, how beautifully Allah has created it? The ship of the desert? Of course, primarily the Arabs were spoken to, they were addressed, and that was the mode of transport. So when a traveler, he'll mount on his camel, the first thing he'll look at his camel. And I said, look at your camel, and look at somebody who has created this camel. There's somebody behind this camel. And if you're not going to take any heed from this camel, okay, then look at the sky as a traveler is traveling. He look at the climate, look at the sky, the sun. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And if that is not sufficient, then you look at your surroundings. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And look at the mountains, how firmly they have been planted into the earth. They have been erected like pegs. And if that is not sufficient, then look down, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. The earth, how leveled we have made it so you can travel easily. فَذَكِّرْ. Let us ponder, reflect. MashaAllah, we are so lucky, we have the sea, we are in Durban. So go and look at the sea, don't look at the people, look at the sea. Don't look at all the sharks. Look at the sea, wallahi, every time I look at the sea, I marvel at this creation of Allah. How beautiful, how powerful the sea is. Waves upon waves. It is that force, that mighty force of Allah that makes that the water come onto the shore, and then Allah pulls back that water back into the ocean. So Allah wants us to reflect, understand His oneness, His greatness, His supremacy, His loftiness, and that everything is in His control. So mashallah, we are believers through the fazl and karam of Allah. Primarily it was addressed to the mushrikeen of Makkah. Allah wanted them to bring iman. So mashallah, we have iman. Allah must always keep us with iman. May Allah give us more with iman. But now after having iman, we can still reflect on the greatness of Allah and obey Allah. After believing in Allah, still we are showing ingratitude to Allah. And if Allah has taken a qasam on the horses that are participating in the war, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحًا فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعًا. Allah describes these war horses, the steeds, that are galloping in the thick of the battle. Early part of the morning, they are attacking the enemy. And as they are galloping so swiftly, Allah talks about the dust that is stirred and the dust that comes up towards the sky. And this horse is so loyal to its master that the master just commands, gives some instruction. And how much of food does the horse get from the master? Compared to what Allah has given us. So that little food that the horse is given, and the master instructs the horse is prepared to go right into the midst of the enemy.
And amidst the flashing of steel and weapons, it is prepared to give its life for the sake of the master. And therefore, after the qasam, Allah has taken on these horses and praised these horses. Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. But verily, man is so ungrateful to his Rabb. The Rabb who created him, the one who fashioned him, who molded him in the best of ways, who provided for him everything. Allah talks about the crops and the food Allah has bestowed upon man. The livestock, the cattle, the rains that Allah sends. The night, the day. Allah says, Allah has made the night for you to rest. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. And still man does not reflect, does not turn to Allah. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, on this verse he would say that insan is so ungrateful that he can actually enumerate and count the calamities that came upon him. He said, this musibat came to me and this problem and that problem. But he forgets the thousands and thousands of bounties Allah has bestowed upon him. That nobody looks at. We only look for the things, the harms that has come to us, and the calamities that we suffer. But we don't reflect on the prosperity Allah has given us, and the health, and Allah has given us so many other bounties. Therefore, respected brothers and elders, this Qur'an Majeed, Allah, you know, the word, Ya Ayyuhal Insan, Ma Gharraka Bi Rabbika Al-Kareem, it is as if Allah is making this plea to us. Allah is begging us not to become deceived. There is no need for Allah to take an oath on anything. There is no need. Allah is Akbar, He is Kabir. There is nobody greater than Allah. Yet Allah chose to take a qasam on certain objects, certain things in this world. And in the 30th para you see many examples. Allah has taken a qasam on time, wal asr. Allah has taken a qasam on these war horses, wal adiyat. Allah has taken a qasam wa shams on the sun. Allah has taken a qasam wa layli on the night. Allah has taken a qasam on the soul. Wa nafsi wa ma sawaha fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. In one verse, wa hadaynahu najidain. Allah has shown us two parts. There are only two parts. Fujuraha and taqwaha. The evil way, the bad way, and the good way. There is no other way. And Allah has given man this intellect. Allah has given us these brains. This power of reasoning and thinking and pondering and reflecting. And if we are not going to use our mind power, our power of reasoning, and understand the oneness of Allah, the existence of Allah, what proofs do we require? What proofs do we require? We've got sufficient proof around us. In fact, in the 30th para, Allah also talks about how Allah has created man in the womb of his mother. I was reading the other day. If Allah wished, a child could have been born instantly in the form he is born and in the weight he is born. After 9 months, plus minus how many kgs? 2 point something, depends. MashaAllah, healthy 3.2, they go more than that. Allah could have done that, but Allah did not choose that. Allah has so much of mercy on the woman that the child is grown gradually from a drop of sperm, clot of blood, piece of flesh, then bones, and then the skin, and then the different faculties, and the ruh comes in. So the mother, over a period of 9 months, gradually she is able to carry this child. Suddenly when something very heavy is thrust into some person, the person can die out of pain. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, our a'mal will be weighed. Our deeds will be weighed. And we will see our deeds being weighed. Yes, there are differences of opinion from different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That how this weighing will occur, our deeds will be given some form, or will the registers be weighed. There's a lengthy academic discussion, but our deeds will be weighed.
And that person whose good deeds are heavy. Saqulat, the word saqili means heavy. In other words, his good deeds outweigh his bad deeds. And Allah says, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. He is in a blissful, happy life. He is successful. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ. But that person whose good deeds is lighter, and the heavy and the bad deeds are heavier, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ. His abode is هَاوِيَة. Allah says, do you know what is هَاوِيَة? نَارٌ حَامِيَة, the blazing fire. Allah talks about the blazing fire of Jahannam throughout the 30th juz especially, warning us that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The hadith of Rasulullah says, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانِ. Every single person will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will have to account for his sins. There won't be any interpreter between the two. Nobody to assist you. You won't require a translator. You won't require interpreter. Allah will speak directly to each person. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. That person who fears the standing before Allah. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he restrains this egos of his, this nafs of his from evil desires and passions. Coming back again to the fact that Allah has taken a qasam on the nafs. Allah has given the nafs the right way. Allah has shown it, this is the right way and this is the wrong way. Now it's left to us to choose. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. The one who purifies his soul, then he is successful. So that person who restrains his desires, and this is what we have learned the entire month of Ramadan. Something that was permissible for us under normal conditions. In every other day besides Ramadan, to eat, drink, to have relationships with our halal wives. Perfectly permissible. But month of Ramadan while fasting, this is haram for you. It's haram for you. Something which is normally permissible. So if we were able to restrain ourselves from something which was permissible for us, for the sake of Allah, then obviously all those things which are prohibited and forbidden, they become more easier now to restrain and stay away and refrain from. So we have already nurtured the soul in the right way, in the right direction. We have kept rozas. We have gained this taqwa, inshallah. It is easy for us to refrain, not to look at that woman, not to look at the TV, not to go into the website, not to go into pornographic material, not to take drugs. It is easy now because we already have trained the nafs. I normally give an example about training the nafs, and many people found it beneficial, so I'll just repeat it. That this nafs is like our little child. And we're going to train this child. There are three stages of the nafs. I'm not going to go into detail. One is nafs-e ammara, then nafs-e awwama, and nafs-e mutma'inna, which we heard in today. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, fadukhuli fi ribadi, wadukhuli jannati. Now this is the highest stage and the best of stage of the nafs. Initially the nafs will command you. It will tempt you towards haram. Nafs and shaitan. Shaitan is known as a slinking prompter. Al-khannas, alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. In Ramadan, we couldn't blame shaitan. But already people already blaming shaitan. They have written, Ramadan will finish and then shaitan will attack me same time. Why should he attack you if you have, alhamdulillah, you have already made the tarbiyat of your soul and you have brought Allah in your heart. If you have Allah on your side, then inshallah, you will overpower nafs and shaitan. But if you deliberately wish to follow again your passions, your desires, and go back to your old habits and customs, and now you're going to now obey shaitan, then Allah Ta'ala will abandon that. Allah will not help us then. Allah will become naraz. Allah loves us, and I emphasize this fact that Allah loves every one of us. All we require is courage. And these verses, if one ponders and reflects over these verses, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. This verse is sufficient for us. If we ponder over it correctly, it will help us to refrain from all sins. You just think and ponder. Make this muraqabah that I'm standing before my Allah and I will account for all my sins. I must have that khawf of my Allah. A child who does wrong and his father is very strict. Now he's caught for something. He's trembling before his father. And if he's given a warning, the next time he makes sure he does not do it again. Why? Because he fears my father will summon me. I will stand before him. So the example I give is, this nafs is like a child. So when the child is a little baby, a few months, we have a special baby seat that we put in the car. The father is driving, and he has got this baby seat, a special seat, and he got the child fastened also with the seat belt. And the father is keep on looking at the mirror, and keep on looking back that my child is okay. So we got to keep on checking this nafs of ours. And then this child, this baby grows, of course. It outgrows a baby seat. So it's not going to sit in that seat. It won't fit anymore there. So it'll sit in the back seat. But every now and then it wants to jump over until you want it, sit quietly, or you strap the child in the back. And easier, you put the wife in the back. Sometimes embarrassing. People don't understand. It looks like something wrong, something not right at home, eh? But then you see the poor lady coming out with a child. We jump to conclusions very easily. Because that's something which we all have to rectify. We are very judgmental, very judgmental. We point fingers at the whole ummah besides ourselves. Really, there's something all of us need to rectify. A person is absolutely innocent. And you just saw him coming out from some house. Immediately you say, oh, he's doing something there. Innocently he went to deliver a parcel or something, whatever. Nonetheless, this child now grows, but you still got it fastened. So this nafs has to be fastened all the time, all the time. And you got to keep a check on this nafs. And yes, when the child is going to misbehave, you just give it one or two shots, spank it a bit, you'll warn it. So this nafs also needs some spanking. It needs some rebuking. And then the child grows, but still is a bit naughty, so you have the child lock in the back. So the child can't open the door. And from the front you've got that button pressed, so the child can't even open those windows. Like that you've got to make sure your nafs doesn't jump out. And all its tricks it will try, you've got to make sure you overpower that nafs. Of course, now the nafs is growing. The child not going to sit in the back all the time. Now it sits, you see brothers or small children, brother and sister, they fight to sit in the front with the father. They will run and they'll push one another. They used to sit in the front. So now the child is sitting in the front. The father will say, "By seat belt, please." Then two seat belt has to be fastened. So now the person is training his nafs. The nafs is now gaining spiritual strength, spiritual nourishment. When we make zikr, tilawat of Quran, we read our salat, we make tawbah, istighfar, we do not give it haram nourishment. We don't let it see all the haram. We don't let it eat haram. We don't let it drink haram. We are very cautious. This nafs is very precious to us. We're going to throw the child out of the car? No. We take care of this child. The child is growing. We are nurturing this child, this nafs. And then the child is sitting in front. After some time, child gets his learners. Now it wants to sit in the driver's seat. Father says, okay, but especially if you're like me, you're going to make sure he doesn't drive fast and keep on rebuking and reprimanding. Take it easy. Any youngster wants to move it up. So then again, but you didn't put your seatbelt on. First thing, put your seatbelt on. So then again, the father is keep on checking the speedometer. What are you driving? Take it easy. Watch the straps in front. So even then, still, seatbelt is fastened. Like this, respected brothers and elders, a simple example for us to understand. These nafs,
We have to nurture it, give it the right tarbiyat.
And dhikrullah is most powerful. Tilawat of the Quran. Tawbah, istighfar, turning to Allah.
We have to beg Allah, cry to Allah. Ya Allah, you give me that hidayat. Ya Allah, I want to purify my nafs.
Allahumma aati nufusana taqwa. Wa zakkiha anta khairu man zakkaha. Anta waliyuha wa mawla. It's a masnoon dua. Wallah, you give my nafs its true taqwa. And you purify it. You are the best person who can purify my nafs. Because Ya Allah, my nafs, my heart is in your control. You are the guardian. You are the protector. You are the owner of the soul of mine. And inshallah, if we continue on this path, there will be some potholes. There will be some obstacles, some impediments, some oil patches here and there. That is life. Our ulama have written, no person can expect to come into this world. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Insan has been created with great toil, difficulty. The child was in the womb of the mother through various stages. It developed. Then it came into the world. Allah save us, sometimes it has some health problem. And then it, as it grows to youngster, different challenges it has to face. Then the person grows up and he has to have, go into the business. Sometimes there are financial problems. There are difficulties at home, social problems, welfare problems. The person grows and then he grows old also. Now he has to see to old age. There are these difficulties. Of course, there are many green pastures also. And orchards. Such as a misery. But you can't expect to come in this world not having any single challenge. And no difficulty whatsoever. No. This is not the system of Allah. But our ultimate goal is what? Akhirat, Jannat, the pleasure of Allah. And the moment we rectify ourselves, reform ourselves, and we must be genuine. We must be loyal servants. We must be sincere. We must be faithful. Now when we are treading that path towards Allah and we are making the tarbiyat, we are nurturing our soul and we are trying our level best to do what is correct. Allah says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will make this path easy for him. This path towards Yusra, Jannat. Allah says, we will make it easy for him. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of us. May Allah give us the understanding of Quran, Hadith, the Shariat of Allah. May Allah make us love the Quran, love the Hadith. May Allah make us love the Deen of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We must be proud Muslims. We must be happy to practice our Deen. We must not shy away. We must take our Deen and advertise it in the correct way and pass it on to the others, to the billions of people in the world who have been deprived. They have not seen this Deen. And therefore, like I mentioned the other night, the manner in which we deal with people, interact with people, our business dealings, our social dealings, everything has to be according to Quran, Sunnah. It's nothing difficult. It's nothing difficult. Again, it's to do with the nafs. It's nurturing of the nafs. Whatever Allah has ordained, there is beauty in it. Whatever Allah has ordained, there is beauty in it. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not something burdensome, ma'adallah. It is something that gives you such ecstasy, such pleasure, such happiness. Every sunnah is so beautiful. But because our hearts, again, are blind, our hearts have become clogged because of sin, and we haven't made the correct reformation of ourselves, we don't see the beauty. And therefore, Hazrat Rahmatullah always say, in the way of sunnah, that way of life is akmal, most perfect, ajmal, most beautiful, ashal, most easy. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Tonight also could be Laylatul Qadr night. This is the last chant, the last flight. Allah knows best whether Laylatul Qadr has already passed by on the 21st, 23rd, 25th or 27th. Tonight could be, and alhamdulillah, we have got a very big crowd. There are so many youngsters, there are adults, there are elderly people. And again, I'm so happy that our youth have come, especially these last 10 days, in large numbers. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us afiyat, salamati, ifat. May Allah guide us. May Allah protect the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is great hope for us. There is great hopes. Although we're going through difficult times, and there are challenges, and a lot of catastrophes, and disasters, and pain, and suffering, but, hold firmly onto Quran and Sunnah. Because there will come a time when to hold steadfast on deen will be so difficult, so difficult, like holding a brand of charcoal in your hand, a piece of charcoal in your hand, hot piece of charcoal. How long are you going to hold it in your right hand? You'll put it in left hand, after some time, back into the right hand. It's going to be very difficult. Because then fitnas will lash like waves upon waves, where a person will see one great fitna, and he will not be able to withstand and endure the pain and the challenge. It'll be extremely difficult. He will actually feel, هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي. This one is destroying me. I'm finished. But before that even can finish, is the next one already coming and pounding on him. May Allah protect us in all these times of difficulty. Things can or will even become more severe. But Allah bless us with afiat. Allah bless our children, our progeny. If we hold on to Quran and Sunnah, Allah will never let us down. Allah is too kind. Allah is too loving. There will always be those group of people who will stand up with the Quran, Hadith, and they will practice on the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us amongst those people, of those people who will command, who will do Amar bil Maruf and Nahi al Munkar. Allah must be, make us on Haqq, and the people who will always spread the truth and the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll make a short zikr and then we'll make dua inshallah. Allah. Respected brothers and sisters, again, ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have spoken so much about Allah's greatness, Allah's love, Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiving nature. Allah just washes away sins. So now when you say La ilaha illallah, all those haram pleasures that we have, that haram woman who has come into our life and spoiling our iman and spoiling our life, we are saying La to her now. Those haram dealings, that riba, that interest, or that anger, that pride, that jealousy, the enmity that we have, love for dunya, whatever it may be, all those spiritual maladies, we are saying La to all those things. And we're going to fill our heart only with Allah. And we say Illallah. Allah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. When we say Allah, just imagine everything is saying Allah with us. The sun is saying Allah, the moon is saying Allah, the skies are saying Allah, the stars are saying Allah, the earth is saying Allah, the trees are swaying and saying Allah, the birds in the sky are saying Allah, the insects are saying Allah, the animals are saying Allah, the plants are saying Allah, jinn is saying Allah, the angels are saying Allah, mankind is saying Allah, the rivers are saying Allah, the mountains are saying Allah, everything is saying Allah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa Ta'ala Sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.